Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Isaiah 46. In verse 10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel will stand, I will do all my good pleasure. Good pleasure means purpose. I will do all my good purpose, all that I've purposed, all that I've desired, all that I've determined, I will do it. Then it says in Philippians 2:13, it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Now, there are times when we know the will of God. There are times when we know the call of God. There are things that we know that God wants that relate to us. Sometimes we know He wants us to do something. Sometimes we know that He wants us to be somewhere or what have you. And we have this tendency at times to think that we have to produce the will of God, that we have to achieve it. If a person thinks that, they're going to start striving within their relationship to God. But it's not the way things work. You do not perform the will of God. You respond to it, but you do not perform it. His counsel will stand. He will do His good pleasure. As far as you go, it is for God to will and to do. To will and to do. Sometimes people do not have the capacity for the call of God. That's because God shares their call with them in order to develop them in that direction. This is not uncommon. Happens a lot with pastors. Sometimes a young man will get a call to be a pastor and he knows that he's called to be a pastor. Now, it can be other things also. It doesn't have to be pastor. It's just an example. And because he knows that God has called him to be a pastor, he does not try to step into a pulpit. Because he's not ready to be a pastor. What he does do is he gets into a proper training program, like a Bible college or a seminary. And so he signs up for a good Bible college where they train him to be a pastor. And then once he is properly trained, God brings him into being a pastor. He doesn't bring himself there. But the reason why God revealed that call to him ahead of time is so that he could prepare with things that require his decisions. Going to Bible college, for example, is a decision. And so God needs to steer that young man in a direction. But in order to steer him, that young man needs to make some decisions. And so he'll tell him well in advance, he'll put it in his heart, you're going to be a pastor. Now, the worst thing that can happen is that we try to make things happen ourselves. God has things like timing involved. God has things like people involved. God is looking at our capacity, our ability. God is looking at the measure of faith that we are able to comfortably deal with and so on. If somebody is not ready to enter into a call, but they try to do so anyway, the results can be quite bad. When I was in Bible college, I had a good friend. I liked this guy a lot. We were buddies. And he started pastoring even while he was in Bible college. And he was not bad. People were responding to him. And he actually developed a church. And it wasn't a bad church. The problem that he had, however, is he used his abilities, but he didn't have preparation. And because sometimes people have charisma or they have a natural ability or they're good speakers, people will come and they will want to listen to them. But that doesn't necessarily mean he's ready. In the case of this young man, something happened and now he claims he's an atheist. He wasn't actually ready. And in his case, he wasn't ready for warfare. Within a call, a person who is living in a call, they will experience resistance. Because we do live in this battlefield where Satan is at war against God. And that battlefield is very real. It's not just a spiritual thing, it's a real thing. For example, why is that terrorist group Hamas and that other terrorist group Hezbollah and the other terrorist group Islamic Jihad, why are they attacking Israel? Because Satan wants to destroy Israel. God gave Abraham promises regarding Israel. The time of their fulfillment is actually very near. Satan recognizes the times that exist right now, and he's trying to destroy Israel. Just like when Jesus was born, the first thing Satan tried to do was kill him. It was Satan. Yes, Herod's the one who gave the decree. It was Satan who was behind it. We do experience different elements of warfare. Any Christian who's worth his salt will from time to time, not all the time, experience elements of warfare. Because we do live in a battlefield. And so unless I'm properly prepared for my call, whatever that call happens to be, I can easily become a casualty within that call. That's why Paul said you never make a novice into a pastor. Satan can take advantage. My friend was taken advantage of. He was good. He was gifted. He did have a call, but it was too early. And he got taken advantage of. Now, it's really startling the way he talks. He is an out-and-out atheist right now in his communication. Now, he did not lose his salvation, you can't. But he's certainly extremely backslidden, functioning in the enemy's kingdom. It's for God to will and to do all his good pleasure. There are also times when the will of God may scare you. The reason why it scares you is because you're not ready. Things that I'm not ready for are scary things. Can you imagine somebody, a first-year medical student, trying to perform heart surgery? That would be terrifying. It would be terrifying, yes, for the patient 100%, but it would be terrifying for that young person also. A first-year medical student trying to do heart surgery? You're kidding. It takes 12 years after you graduate medical school to completely learn that. And so, you don't do things you're not ready for. If you're not willing and you know something is the call of God, then one of two things is true. Number one, it's either not the call of God and you thought it was, and that happens. People make mistakes, it happens. And if that's the case, don't worry, God will show you. But number two, it may not be the right time. It's for God to make you willing. And when the time is right, if the call is right, you will be willing. But you might be scared, you might be apprehensive about how you're going to do things, what have you. Don't worry about that stuff. It's for God to take care of it. You respond to God today in the things that are present now. You don't worry about the future. You respond to God today. If you keep yourself in the love of God and the Word of God in your frame of reference today, then God will take care of ordering your steps so that you end up in the right place at the right time. You don't worry about tomorrow, you take care of today. If you are responding to God and what He has for you today, you will enter into the call of God. If you are responding to God and what He has for you today, when the time comes, the will be there. The courage, sometimes it takes courage. If you're called on the mission field, that takes some guts. If you're called on the mission field and that's terrifying you, then you've got the wrong timing. Don't worry about the mission field today. Today is not when you're going. You take care of today. You respond to God today. He'll take care of tomorrow. He'll order your steps. He'll make things happen. He'll put things together. And you will be in the right place at the right time if you're responding to Him today. In Psalm 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, this has a double meaning. Both of those meanings are important into one function. You delight yourself in the Lord. Delight means take joy in, take pleasure in. Let God be your pleasure. Let God be your joy. Let God be that which you look to make you happy. And then He will put certain desires into your heart. Sometimes people are worried about God putting His desires into their heart when they say, well, what if His desires don't match my desires? If that's the case, then I can assure you His desires for you are better. Ephesians 3:20. I cannot desire for myself nearly as well as God can desire for me. I cannot satisfy myself nearly as well as God can satisfy me. I cannot give myself happiness nearly as well as God can give me happiness. In my presence, there is no fullness of joy. In the presence of God, there's absolute fullness of joy. So God can do far better for me than I can do for myself. Never be afraid to let God give you His desires for you, thinking that you won't get your own. Your own desires cannot begin to touch God's desires in terms of how satisfying, how happy they make you, how much you're fulfilled. God does a much better job of that than I can. And so delight yourself in the Lord, and He will put desires into your heart. And they will be His desires. Once He puts His desires into your heart, because it's for Him to will and to do all His good purpose for your life, then He will cause those desires to come to pass. The desire cannot be trusted as a call, but the call will come with a desire. If the desire is not there when you have the call defined, don't worry about it. Respond to Him today. Live with Him in the fullness of what He gave you today. And what you need tomorrow will be present tomorrow. Sometimes we get apprehensive because we look to tomorrow. But tomorrow isn't ours, it's God's. It's for God to bring tomorrow. I can't touch tomorrow. I live in now forever. I cannot live in tomorrow. And I never will live in tomorrow. We always live in what Pastor Stevens used to call the eternal is. The eternal now. Because where else can we live? And so, we don't worry about what will be. We respond to Him in what is. We don't worry about what was. We respond to Him in what is. Sometimes people say to themselves, well, I tried and I failed. You have no idea what you did. I can't even describe my failure as a failure unless it was out and out sin. I tried and it didn't work for me. Let's put it that way. You don't know what worked and what didn't. You don't know the outcome of things, and you're not going to know the outcome of things until you're in heaven. You might have tried and you might have come across a person along the way without knowing it. You even planted seeds in their life. They ended up getting saved because you tried, but you never knew they got saved. And then when you're in heaven, you're going to meet that person and they're going to say, it was because of the seeds you planted in my life that I got saved 5 years later. You don't know that. Don't try to assess your success. You have no way of assessing it. There's churches, and this is not true of all of these, but there's churches that have thousands and thousands of people, but yet the pastor won't tell you that you need Christ to get saved. Several years ago, I saw an interview with the pastor of a mega church, and this guy had mind-blowingly large church. But he would not say, when he was asked, that Jesus was the way to get saved. The reporter said to him, is Jesus the only way to heaven? He wouldn't answer. But he has a mega church. The fact that he has a lot of followers doesn't mean anything. Jesus had 12, actually 4. 12 that were close, 120 that were on the edges, but 4 that were really the core. Those were the 4 that were at the cross. 12 he really invested in. 120 showed up at church. But really, 4. He had 4 people. And that was Jesus. So you cannot determine success by the number. You cannot determine success by the way things look. Jesus was crucified. Was he successful? Oh, yeah. But you wouldn't think that if you were looking at him by sight 2,000 years ago. Hey, that guy got crucified. That's what he came for. Delight yourself in the Lord. And He'll give you the desires of your heart. He'll cause His will to come to pass in your life, and He will give you the desire for His will in due time. In Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your frame of reference. Don't think to yourself that anything else is trustworthy. You may think it really seems like it is trustworthy. Don't ever think to yourself that it is. A fair number of Christians will think that their money is trustworthy. Well, I'm looking at how things are, and if I store up enough cash, then I'll be fine. If I have enough money in the bank, if I have enough investments, if I buy properties, if I buy gold, whatever it is, if I have all this, then I'll be secure. That's not security at all. You can lose all your money. You can lose millions, and many people have. You can lose millions upon millions in one day. I met that guy one time who did. He had a bad day. When the stock market crashed, and that happened a few times now, people lost millions in one day. Some people lost their entire life savings in one day. And a few of them, that's what their life became about, and they ended up committing suicide. Because they thought it was so hopeless now it wasn't even worth living. Well, they weren't trusting in the Lord. They were trusting in their money. You can't trust money. You can't trust relationships. You can't trust people. As precious as people are, and you want to have people in your life that you love and that they love you, that's fine. The body of Christ is important in our lives. But you can't even trust that. The only thing that is trustworthy and will never fail you is Christ. The only thing that will never leave you is Christ. When I was a little kid, my mom was the world. And I used to thank God that my parents were well into their old age. And then one day she died. Could I trust her? Well, on one hand, you do trust your parents, and that's correct. Because you trust their love for you, you also understand that they're humans. But on the other hand, even that cannot become your portion. Because even that eventually gets taken away. Now, she got saved. She's in heaven. I'll have that relationship again. It's not the end of the story. But she's not here. And that happens to all of us. There's only one thing you can rely on, that's Christ. You can't rely on yourself in the will of God. You can't rely on yourself in the call of God. You can't rely on yourself in the things of God. You can't rely on other people. You cannot rely on circumstances. And you cannot rely on external provisions. You can only trust Christ for all of it. You can't make it happen. He makes it happen. Young people, I want you to understand this. If when the time is right and you are of the correct age, you start hunting for a wife or a husband, you're going to give yourself a hard time. Because God brings your wife and God brings your husband. In Genesis 24, when it was time for Isaac to get married, and he was 40 years old at the time. By the way, because you're 20 doesn't mean you need to be married. I'm 25, time is ticking. Oh no! You have no idea. God brings your husband. God brings your wife. When it was time for Isaac to get married, Isaac did not go looking for a wife. He didn't try the dating scene. Dating is practice for divorce. In our church, we teach don't date. And when I say that, people say, well, how is anybody going to get married? I've actually heard pastors say that. Well, how is anybody going to get married? Well, gee, you think God might be able to do something? He created a person. He made them alive. He created the universe. But this one's a little bit tough for him. What are you, nuts? Here's the thing. You don't know their heart. You don't really know their past. Even if you know the events of their past, maybe you've known them all your life, you still don't know their past because you don't know their thought life. You still don't know their thought life, and frankly, you never will. You will know them better than other people, but you still don't know the fullness of it. You don't know their future. And you're supposed to pick? Well, he's cute. Good luck with that one. Young people, let God pick your spouse. God is very faithful to do that. And He's very able. And if you're not married and you're 30 years old, that's only because God doesn't want you married when you're 30 years old. It's for Him to will and to do all His good pleasure. Young people, you trust God for it. Isaac did not go dating when he got 40 thinking, oh my God, I'm getting old, I better get married. Abraham actually decided when Isaac should get married. And Abraham didn't send out Isaac saying, okay, now go over there and pick one because, you know, there's some good looking girls over there. Go over there and pick one. That's not how it worked. Abraham sent Abraham's servant. And Abraham's servant found the wife for Isaac. And he went to Abraham's kinsmen. In other words, Abraham's extended family was where he was looking. And Isaac ended up marrying a cousin. Today, that's kind of like, ugh. Back then, it was pretty normal. And that was right before God. God showed the servant who the right wife was for Isaac. Now, this is the application of it today. When God says it's time for you to get married, the Holy Spirit brings the right husband or the right wife. And it's the Holy Spirit only that is able to do that. You can't figure it out. People say, I well, got a date. You got a date. Yeah, that's practice for divorce. What happens when you date? First of all, you see how somebody meets your emotional desires. Well, right there you've got a problem because it's not based on your emotional desires. No one is capable of fulfilling your emotional desires. No human being alive is capable of doing that. That's why there's an 80% divorce rate out there, because that's how people go about it. No human being can be there to satisfy. You have to be satisfied on your own with Christ in your relationship with Him, or you're not ready to be married. And then you don't start dating, you start praying. And you don't get anxious, you trust Him. Because one of the most powerful impacts, second to being saved, in your life, one of the strongest effects in your life, the thing that influences you more than anything else, second to God, is your spouse. And if God doesn't pick your spouse, what are you picking? Well, frankly, you have no idea what you're picking. It's a real shot in the dark, even if you think you know the person. And by no means should you ever get physical with somebody you're not married to. You don't start making out with them. You don't do that until you're married. You don't even touch them until you're married. And by touching, I mean a sensual touch. No romantic thing going on until you're married. Why? Because people damage themselves. And they damage themselves very badly. I remember when I was in college, I was this young gal, and we were in a group of friends that were in the same program. And she got involved with her fiancé physically. And she said, well, I'm going to marry him. And after 2 years, they split up. When you get physical, there's actually chemical changes that take place in your body. And those chemical changes tell you that person is your spouse. That person's your husband. That person's your wife. And then you break up with them, but in your chemistry, you're still married to them. Even though you may have never gotten married, your body thinks it is. And then somebody else comes. And if you get physical in any way with them, you start making out or what have you with them, you get the same response with them. Now, when you actually do get married, you have a very difficult time of it. And then you're not even able to respond to your spouse in many cases. Yes, God can fix it. But honestly, most people never get the Word of God to such a point, never humble themselves enough, never get an intimate enough relationship with Christ for that to be fixed. And it causes all kinds of problems. Young people, don't do that to yourself. It's stupid.
Oh, but I love him.
Oh, I love her. She makes me laugh. She makes me feel good.
He's so nice to me.
Who cares? He's not Santa Claus. It's for God to do the things, including marriage. Trust in Him with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Don't think you can figure out in all your ways, including this, acknowledge Him and He'll direct your path. He will direct your path. He will bring the right person. He will bring you to the right place. He will cause the right events to take place. And if they haven't taken place yet, it's not His time for them to take place. Believe me, God is never late, and God is never early. God's timing is perfect in all things pertaining to you. He's never late, never early. Why don't I have this? Why aren't I married? Why isn't this happening? Because God said it's not time yet. That's why. Any other questions? When it's time, it'll happen. It'll come. But if it's not time, don't make it happen yourself. You will regret it, 100% guaranteed. It's very simple with God. You trust Him. It's much easier to trust Him than to not trust Him. When you don't trust Him, you get all kinds of anxious. When you think it's up to you, you get all kinds of anxious. You trust Him, you can relax. And the reason why you can trust him is because he loves you and he's very interested, he's very involved. And don't worry, he has not forgotten. And he never will. He lives inside of you. He can't forget you. When God has a call for you, God will bring it to pass. Until then, just enjoy today. Don't look so much to the future, things that you want, that you lose the things that you have. And that happens to people. They lose joy because they think they want something. And so they don't enjoy the things they currently have. But the fact of the matter is, you really don't know what you want because you have no way of knowing. So you just trust him and he makes things happen in your life. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."